This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. Today's guest has driven millions of dollars worth of supercars, but he's no millionaire. At least I don't think he is. And if he is, he should have gotten me a much better birthday present. He is the head of special projects at Hurst Autos, creating content for people like me who love Lamborghinis, but would get zapped with a taser if I got within 5 feet of one. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. It's Patrick Caron. Patrick, how are you?
I'm great. That's quite an introduction, and I think I would shock you if you got even close to my Lamborghini.
Yes. So I probably confused people a little bit with the description of what you do. And then we're going to get into our backstory because we have a rich history together. But before we get into that, let's just explain what you do, because while you technically have a real job in that you work for a company and get a paycheck and all that, you have what many would consider a dream job. So why don't you tell the good people what you actually do?
So I work for Hurst Autos. My title is head of special projects. And what that means is I get to come up with lots of fun ideas and write lots of fun stories for Car and Driver and Road and Track and Auto Week. You know, some of the biggest car magazines there are. And yeah, I think the really fun part that you were probably referring to is getting behind the wheel of some pretty awesome rides pretty often, even though I'm a guy with a regular salary and a small apartment in the city that does not come with parking. So
that's right. So Patrick, and I've been the beneficiary of this because Patrick and I, let's just get into it. Patrick and I have known each other for how long now?
I think probably since 2005.
Yeah, so going 15, 20-ish years, something like that.
Yeah, take 2021 minus 2005, and that's whatever that comes out to.
He's apparently a numbers guy, too. So Patrick and I have worked together at several magazines, several websites, including for a brief stint. He worked at Entrepreneur, so if his name is ringing a bell, you may have seen his byline on our site, maybe seen his face in our videos, and then one day, he left us for dead.
It was a very sad day. I remember that sad conversation that we had, but
yeah. Where you had this smile that you couldn't get off your face.
Exactly. I was like trying to be sad. I'm like throwing like water under my eyes in the bathroom. Dan, can we talk for a second?
So as long as I've known you, I mean, so Patrick and I have been writing and editing and doing all kinds of fun things together. But as long as I've known you, you've loved cars and you've been able to find a way to get that love of cars, you know, as part of your job. So when we worked at Maxim and stuff and even a sports website, you kind of found a way to make Ferraris and Corvettes part of that, even if they didn't always totally make sense.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't always the make the most sense. For example, when we were working for that, you know, website about high school sports that I'd review and Aston Martin for some reason, but hey, maybe it's something for these kids to aspire to,
there
right?
You go.
Mean, isn't that why you become an athlete?
That's right. Where some crooked guy is going to offer you one of those cars to come play for Alabama or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that Nick Nolte movie, right?
Yeah, right. So I mean, I've seen the kind of cars that you get to drive, and obviously, you know, we're joking around, but you're a legitimate car guy. You've been in the industry for a long time, but can you describe to people, having driven you've literally driven Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Corvettes, for those of us stuck in an Acura or a Hyundai or something, like, is it really that much better, Patrick?
Yes. Yes, it is, Dan.
Okay. I suspect it as much, but yeah.
Yes. This is what I would say. I would say yes, but it's easier to drive a lot of those cars than one would think. And I think especially these days. So, like, for example, the car that, like, our generation, and you say our generation, even though we all know that you're a couple years older than me, you know, the car that we kind of grew up with was like the Lamborghini Countach, right? That's the one that we all had on the wall.
Right.
You know, the stick car with like scissor doors. Now, cars like that were extremely difficult to drive. Like, you know, there was like a really tough gated shifter where like you really need muscle to move it and the clutch was really hard. Absolutely no visibility to go backwards in that car. You literally have to have that scissor door up and lean out of the car. Otherwise you can't see behind you. I'm not exaggerating.
Right, okay.
These days, the cars are much more civilized. Even the most extreme Lamborghinis, Bugattis, Ferraris, what have you. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I would put my mom, who's a totally like fine driver. I would put her behind the wheel of any of them and I'd be totally comfortable with her. Like, you know, drive to get us, let's take a little drive around the block. Like, there's nothing really as crazy about them if you don't want to drive them crazy. Maybe I'd put it like that.
Right, right.
And I think that sometimes surprises people. They think, oh my God, how can you even, like, drive that thing? Like, you must be, like, you know, Mario Andretti. And I'm like, no, not really. It's actually not that hard. I mean, yes, you're lower, for sure, and you have to deal with people honking at you all the time because you know you think you're doing something wrong, but really they're just trying to say awesome car, or like, you know, they're gesticulating out their windows and you're like, what's going on? They're like screaming at you from the street. I'm like, is my trunk open? No, they're just you have to remember that you're like in these things,
right.
But in terms of the actual driving, it's really not so nuts.
Well, yes, but also let me share a fairly recent story. So at Entrepreneur, you know, we do have the opportunity to try different things and different very cool things. And recently, a couple of months ago, I got to try the Lamborghini SUV, the Urus. Is that how you say it?
Urus.
Yes.
Yes. It's a bull from mythology.
Right, right. So let me explain how this all works for everybody. So I have a tiny little house in the suburbs, and on this day, this big, beautiful moving truck pulls up in front. The back comes down. The driver gets out of the truck, and he backs this insane Lamborghini SUV, $250,000 car, onto the street. Bright yellow. I come running out. I'm all excited. He hands me the keys. He's like, have a great time, buddy. He gets back in his truck. He drives away. I climb into the SUV, which is now semi parked in the middle of the street. And I look down at looking for the shifter, and I cannot figure out how to put the car in gear.
I actually totally forgot about that.
Yes. So I'm looking around and there's all this stuff written in Italian. There's a lot of different levers and buttons and I'm trying to hit everything. And I figured out how to get it in reverse. So I'm thinking to myself, at worst case scenario, I'm going to drive around the block backwards so that I could eventually get it into my driveway. But before I did that, I FaceTimed a certain car expert in my life, namely Patrick Carone, and said, how do I drive this thing? And you told me all the buttons to press. So thank you.
Yes, I will say, in your defense, it's very not intuitive, that particular model, because, you know, you were able to get in reverse, because I'm sure you saw there was an R somewhere, and you're like, okay, push this thing towards the R.
Yeah.
That'll get me in reverse. But there's no D.
Yeah.
And I think with that one, in order to get in gear, you actually have to use one of the paddles.
Yes.
On the, like, one of the paddle shifters on,
yes,
the, on the wheel. It's actually the only way you could get into drive with that. So it was an honest mistake.
It reminded
honest,
me, this
honest
is
honest ignorance.
Yes, and it reminded me, for people who are really old like me, there was an episode of MASH where someone is performing a tracheotomy and they're using a walkie-talkie and the doctor is talking him through it. And it was kind of like you going, okay, look under the steering wheel. There's a paddle. Pull that paddle. Did it move? Yes. Okay, now hit the gas. So thank you for that.
I'm just glad there's a MASH reference in here.
That's yeah. So what, I guess two questions. What would you say, you've driven all kinds of things in pretty amazing places. So what are some of the standouts, if not the standout, if you could narrow it down that much? And then also for all the car fanatics out there who would kill you and steal your job and steal your life, like, how do people even break into that kind of industry?
All right. Well, first of all, I think if there is just one moment when things like really hit me in terms of how lucky I was with this job and just being in like a very interesting situation. So a lot of times when a new vehicle is introduced, they invite journalists to a launch event in which, depending on the car, you know, you get some time driving on the street. But if it's a performance car, you maybe get some time on the racetrack. If it's more of an off-road vehicle, they, you know, set up a course for you, like something that would be good for a 4x4. But in this particular case, Lamborghini launched a new version of its Aventador, which is its, you know, flagship supercar in Spain. So, you know, poor Patrick, for work, I had to trudge all the way over to Spain to drive this thing. And they brought it to a racetrack. Now, I drive, and I have actually done some time on track, just, you know, because of this, because of my job. But, and I feel like it's important to note, this was, for some reason, we had to, like, be at the track at 6 in the morning. So, okay, completely jet-lagged, didn't sleep. It's 6 a.m., I'm in Spain. I'm actually in the first group of journalists to get into this car. I'm behind the wheel of this, you know, 750, 800, whatever horsepower Lamborghini. And like, I just need to like follow this like professional driver as well as I can on this like real racetrack.
Yeah.
In, you know, out there. And man, it just kind of, it kind of hit me both like, wow, this is incredible. I get to do this. But then also, I could die. But the thing about the I could die thought is, yeah, there are worse ways. I mean, like, if it's like, oh, Patrick's dead, what happened? Then he crashes Lamborghini in the racetrack in Spain. It's, it's bad. But, you know, it's, at least it's a little story.
It is. You didn't choke to death on a chicken wing or something like that.
Which is probably the much more likely way that I would die, if you know how much I enjoy eating a meat on the bone.
My question was going to be, did you have any ham while you're in Spain?
Yes, plenty of ham and lots of paella.
Mm, very nice.
Yeah.
Very
lots
good.
Lots of paella. But interestingly enough, authentic paella has rabbits in it. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow. And a lot of people didn't know that that was interesting. So,
more coming up from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsor. Look, 2020 has proven to be the year of many things. But if you own a small business, this could also be the year you switch to better payroll. Gusto wasn't just built for small businesses, it was built for the people behind them. Their online payroll is so easy to use. Gusto can automatically calculate paychecks and file all your payroll taxes, which means you have more time to run your business. Plus, Gusto does way more than payroll. Gusto helps with time tracking, health insurance, 401ks, onboarding, commuter benefits, offer letters, access to HR experts. You get the idea. It's super easy to set up and get started, and if you're moving from another provider, they can transfer all your data for you. It's no surprise 94% of customers are likely to recommend Gusto, and here's the best part. Because you're a listener, you get 3 months totally free. Totally free for 3 months. That's awesome. All you have to do is go to gusto.com/GARJ. Again, that's gusto.com/GARJ. I'm telling you, you're gonna love Gusto. Get started today. And we're back.
To answer your second question, so I got into this job actually. I always did love cars. Like growing up, I got all the car magazines, I'd read them, I had posters on my wall, all of that. And then after, you know, going to college and moving to New York City where, you know, it's pretty much impossible to own a car, it kind of like went dormant a little bit. I went into journalism, worked in a bunch of magazines, mostly covered like entertainment stuff, interviewing actors and doing things like that. But at some point, the opportunity came up to do some car reviews. Now, it was sort of a combination of me always having loved cars, and it's, you know, something that I did kind of keep track of, even though I was never able to actually own one. And the fact that I saw, boy, these people who write about cars, they have the like greatest life ever. They get these cars, they get to drive every weekend, they get to take these crazy trips all over the world to drive them. And I'm like, well, that sounds like a pretty good gig. And luckily, I knew how to drive stick, which is, you know, less and less actually important because so many cars are even, you know, supercars like the aforementioned Lamborghini, they're all automatic these days. But anyway, I had like just enough of like a skill set to be like, you know what, let me just jump into this and see how it all goes. And that's kind of how I initially got into it. There's, I guess you could sort of say I pivoted in terms of what I was really, you know, concentrating on in terms of magazine writing, to go to write about cars.
Well, I'm using the word pivoted, it shows that you were paying attention during your brief stint here at Entrepreneur. So,
yeah, so
that's appreciated.
Exactly.
So, how is, you know, the car content market? You know, how does that go? What do people like these days? Is it all about video? Is there still that thing? You know, I know with Entrepreneur Magazine, there's still that thing where people just love to like hold the magazine, and it's like it's their, I don't want to say Bible, but it's they treasure it. You know, the physical copy. I would imagine that's the same way for car people, since like collecting is such a big part of car culture.
Totally. And the thing is also, you know, people who love cars, and they're interested in consuming, you know, any information they could get about it in any way. So yes, magazines, websites, podcasts. Another brand that is part of Hurst Autos is Bring a Trailer. Now, Bring a Trailer is it's actually an auction site. And so, you know, they have, you know, at any given moment, you know, a few hundred cars, some, you know, more recent, some going back all the way to whatever, the 40s, 50s, 60s, big range of cars. And so, you know, people who love this stuff, they'll go there, not because they're actually interested in, like, at any given moment, like, oh boy, I want a 1977 Alfa Romeo. They just go to, like, it's just fun to window shop and kind of fantasize, like, oh, like, I wonder what it'd be like if I bought this. Like, how much trouble would I get into at home or whatever?
Right.
And it's just like, whatever. It's just like any way that they could like see cars, like touch cars, read about cars, hear about cars. They just want it. And so that's what's great about like providing content for them is it's just, you know, you have a hungry audience for it. So it makes it even more pleasurable that you know that what you're doing isn't just going to go off into a vacuum. Like
people
just like are waiting to hear like the latest news or really like, you know, so how fast does this thing actually go to 0 to 60? You know, all of these, like any kind of minutia they want to know.
Yeah. And you know, what's, I think, is, you know, we've been talking about all these supercars, which are, you know, kind of, I guess, obviously a car nut would drool over that. But what I thought was pretty fascinating when you were telling me the other day how, you know, cars from like the 90s that aren't super, they're not supercars by any means, but there's like this kind of nostalgia element to it, or maybe it just
totally
weirdly had this amazing performance or something. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think part of that is sort of this idea where it's like you want the car that was the car that the cool kids had in high school, or like,
right,
you know, and these aren't going to be like crazy supercars. Like, you know, if there was a kid in your class or like your parents' friend had like a really awesome Toyota Supra, right?
Yeah.
It's like you always thought like, man, that thing is so neat. That thing is so cool.
Yeah.
And now you could like pick up a pretty like really decent one for, you know, $15,000, $20,000. It's like, you know, you start thinking about it like that. And so there's a lot of nostalgia, especially for like with everything else. The 90s is big. People are really, there's all these reboots of 90s shows, you know, 90s movies coming back, whatever. It's the same thing with cars. And it's a little bit crazy, especially for a couple old guys like us. But the 90s is like kind of legitimately vintage now. These are 30-year-old cars.
It's amazing and depressing like, all at once.
It's like cars from the 50s were when we were growing up. There's no difference.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned like your, so my dad, who is not a, this doesn't seem to fit his personality at all, but he had a Triumph when I was a kid, a convertible.
Oh, that's fun.
And I just remember him taking us out on it. And then I think my mom made him get rid of it.
Smart woman.
And it was, you know, as you described about the old cars, like it wasn't exactly like a pleasure cruise, you know, like it had like no suspension or whatever the correct word is, very rigid. You mm-hmm. felt like every bump you went over, I think it broke down like every other day, but it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And sometimes you have a car like that and people just, doesn't matter. They're just so nostalgic for it, or they like getting, you know, under the hood and tinkering around and trying to fix it. It's just all part of the experience.
Right. So I know you guys have been doing a lot of different kinds of things, and you mentioned a podcast. So I wonder if there's people who are delighted by the sound of your voice, you know, if there's another podcast that you might be heard on for her story.
Oh, yeah. I think if you have any interest in cars, you should check out Quick Spin from Auto Week. And it's really fun because it's super quick. It's a 15-minute weekly podcast where we actually record ourselves while we're testing the cars, you know, for, you know, little snippets to walk around, driving impressions. And then we play those when we're back in the studio and then just talk about what our experience was. So it's a really great way to get downloaded quickly on, you know, what the latest and greatest new cars are. And it's also worth noting, kind of like what you were saying before, Dan, it's not just supercars. You know, we also, you know, will dive into cars that, you know, regular folks could buy that people are interested in. So it's a really good range. So that's definitely recommend checking that out if you enjoy the dulcet tones of my voice.
Very good. And I apologize. I don't know if you've been hearing some dinging noises in the background, but I'm getting text updates from my son who has our dog at the dog park. So I just told him to stop.
Thought you were boxing in between. This was like between rounds. someone's slicing your eye right now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's awesome. Yes, and I have listened to it, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm, you know, I do like cars a lot. I'm probably not,
you know, your psycho car lover. But what I like about it is that you get, you know, you get enough new information to kind of make you want to know more, but it doesn't like kind of totally go over your head. So you understand what people are talking about. So good job
on
that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. No, that's the thing. It's like casual fans of cars or like the biggest, you know, gearhead in the world. They could get into it. And in general, like sometimes, like even if you're not super into cars, you like to page through an issue of Car and Driver or something. It's just, they're fun to look at, you know, and it's fun to fantasize about driving them.
And I love, because I've been in the car with you when you've done this, when you're, as you mentioned, you're in New York City. So, you know, you're not parking a Lamborghini on the street. So you bring it to the car garage and the guy's like eyes shoot out of his head because he's like going to park a $300,000 car next to like, you know, an Acura and a, you know, a Honda.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because last week I had this, it's not going to sound super cool, but it is really cool. There's this new Audi station wagon that just came out, but they stuck a 600 horsepower twin turbo V8 in it, so it's deadly. So I had that for the weekend, and I swear I brought it to the garage because I wasn't able to drive it that day. It was very snowy out. I'm like, you know, let's wait till tomorrow, the weather clears. So I go to pick it up, and I swear it was like dirtier, that there was like kind of like more moisture on it, and I was like, I got Ferris Bueller. I 100% got Ferris Bueller'd over here. And I said to my wife, I'm like, I should have checked the odometer. You know,
Yeah.
I could not have been surprised.
And if they tried that Ferris Bueller trick of putting it in reverse, like, that's not going to work.
No, I don't think that would work. And, Cameron's dad would not be happy.
Would not be happy. No. You know, one other quick thing about that, when I drove the Lamborghini Urus, driving by an elementary school near me where kids were out for recess, and you know, you hear that car long before you see it. So I'm coming up the road and they hear this like monster engine roaring, and it was hilarious. As I pull, these kids all run up to the fence. It looked like they were like in prison, and they're all like pushed up against the fence, and they were cheering as I drove by.
Oh man.
It was hilarious. It was incredible.
And then you drove back around and offered them some candy?
No. I did not.
Good. I was just testing
it. Yeah. So we're recording this on a Friday afternoon. It's quite cold out, but it's sunny. And so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But for people who are enjoying Patrick's voice, you're going to hear some more of it, aren't they, Patrick?
Really?
On this,
this very podcast.
I don't know if you're going to try to act like you were surprised, but... So Patrick is going to join me going forward on the Get a Real Job podcast as we talk to all the kinds of people you're used to hearing from. Mr. Corona and I go way back, and we learned not too long ago that after knowing each other for 15 some odd years, we learned that we're actually related, which was a whole other story that we'll get into at a later date. But
maybe that's a whole other podcast.
That might be like, a five-part podcast, I think.
It could be like one of those like true crime ones,
yeah,
where it's like
exactly,
where they like mess with the narrative, and yeah, so it's like, you know, you mentioned this part then, but then you have to tune in to the next one, and
exactly,
got lots of like creepy music, and we could like both do like some good like NPR voice.
Perfect.
For that one, right? The mystery about Dan and Patrick are related.
I began to think that maybe things weren't as they seemed. I don't know if that...
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you. So Mr. Carone, Patrick Carone, is joining the Get a Real Job family. So you'll be hearing more from him and more from me. And we appreciate you listening. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Dan, thank you. I'm very excited. I'm super psyched to join you. I know that you talk to some very cool people. I often listen to you while I'm shopping because I don't commute anymore thanks to the pandemic.
Yes.
And so oftentimes I kind of associate you with looking at dates on grapefruit juice.
Yeah.
So that's
I thought you were going to say you listen to it, you know, while you're driving the Aston Martin, but, you know, I'll take the grapefruit juice. All right, Mr. Carone, I'm going to let you go. Have your adventures out into the day, and we will talk again soon.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.